The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you His peace. That's how we end worship every Sunday, with words given to Moses to bless the children of Israel as they traveled to the Promised Land. That blessing raises a question. How do you gain God's favor, God's peace, God's help, the confidence that God will work all things together for good in your life and in your children's lives and in the lives of all those you love? How do you gain God's favor? You know, when I was a kid, you know, age 10 to 13, every summer and in spring, I had a lot of regular lawn mowing jobs in the neighborhood. And when fall rolled around, I spent my weekends raking leaves. And I remember one Sunday afternoon in late November, I was raking leaves for a neighbor lady who lived a couple of blocks from our house, and she had a lot of oak trees, and it was taking me forever to finish her yard. In fact, it was getting dark, and I still wasn't done. Well, just as dusk was really settling in, to my surprise, my dad showed up. And he helped me finish up, and then he waited as I knocked on the door and received the wages for my work. And then he and I walked home together in the dark. Sometime after that, I overheard my dad talking to a friend, and he said, "Chris is our hard worker." I still remember that. I remember the joy and pride I felt finding favor in my dad's eyes. I earned his favor by working hard. That's how you do it. Isn't it? I mention that memory because in our readings today, there's something important said about how we find favor in God's eyes. In our gospel lesson, Jesus emphasized that those who keep God's law and teach others to do so will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Certainly an indication of God's approval, of God's favor. But when we look at our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 58, we read a complaint from those who believe that they are keeping God's law, people who argue that they are doing everything they're supposed to be doing, and yet it seems that God withholds His favor from them. Isaiah 58:3 says, "Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it?" In other words, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and beyond. We're checking all the boxes. Why aren't you responding to us, God? Why aren't you helping us? Why don't you answer our prayers? What is it that God is looking for from you? What does God want from you before He bestows upon you His favor? You know, Jesus made a fascinating comment in our gospel lesson today. In verse 17, He said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, to fulfill the law by keeping it." Why would Jesus have to defend Himself against the false accusation that He was abolishing God's law? Because He was continually forgiving those who broke God's law. Thieves, prostitutes, corrupt officials, adulterers, murderers, everyone who sought forgiveness, Jesus was forgiving them. And yet, He insisted, He had not abolished the law. So if God's standards of behavior still apply to you and me, and yet God is willing to forgive us so freely, even when we don't measure up, then what is God looking for from you and me? What does God demand of us? Anything? There's got to be something we're supposed to do. Isn't there something we do to earn God's favor? To be confident of His love for us? What are we supposed to do? What does Jesus say? He says this: "A law-abiding and well-respected Pharisee, and also a hated, corrupt, traitorous tax collector, went to the temple to pray." The Pharisee was esteemed for good reason. He did everything right. He was a pillar in the community and seemed deeply, deeply religious. His image was certainly burnished by the fact that he was successful financially. He probably also had a beautiful wife and smart kids. The tax collector, on the other hand, was a real bona fide scumbag. He made his living collecting taxes from hard-working, patriotic fellow Jews, and gave the money to the hated, occupying Romans. He gave the Romans some of the money anyway, as much as he had to. He collected substantially more than required and kept the excess for himself. Why he was hated so enthusiastically by everybody was no mystery at all. So anyway, both these men went to the temple to pray. The esteemed Pharisee went first and he prayed like this: "I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other men, those who extort money, the unjust, those who commit adultery. I thank you especially that I'm not like this tax collector. Unlike him, I fast twice a week. And, unlike him, I give a tenth of all I get." End of prayer. He was a man who kept God's law. A man who appeared to have earned God's favor. Then it was the tax collector's turn to pray. Aware of the depth of his own sin, The tax collector remained near the back of the room, declining to approach the altar. In fact, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, it says. But beating his chest in an ancient Middle Eastern expression of contrition, he mumbled, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." The punchline of the parable was absolutely shocking, actually scandalous, to everyone who had gathered around Jesus and was listening. And they crowded around and strained their ears to hear Jesus say this, "I tell you the truth, it's the sinful, hated tax collector who went home forgiven and accepted by God." The tax collector, not the Pharisee, received God's favor. Why? Why? He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. He broke every rule in the book. It's as if the law had been abolished. But Jesus had not abolished God's law. He fulfilled it. He himself kept it and imputes his own righteousness to you and me, who are incapable of keeping God's law. And so we're forgiven. If that's true, now isn't that just encouraging people to sin? Come on. The consequences of sin are well known to all of us. Look around and see the fallout of broken families and relationships and pain and suffering and sadness and anger and addiction and perversion and despair. You can't miss it. It's all around you. In fact, you may be feeling it right now. The point for us struggling sinners is that God doesn't pile on. He doesn't pour salt into the wound. In fact, Jesus is the one source of forgiveness and acceptance for you who are beaten up and bleeding from your own losing battle with sin. The wonderful news is that, like the tax collector in the temple, you're invited to be honest with yourself and honest with God. You're invited to quit pretending that you're somebody you're not. You're invited to see yourself as you really are. And despite your failures, you're offered God's mercy and favor, despite your guilt. What relief! What comfort! What peace, finally! You didn't even have to earn it, because you can't. It's God's gift. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and goodness and compassion and forgiveness to us who struggle with sin. Lord, help us to respond to what you have done for us by loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and being filled with gratitude toward you and humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.